Hello, I'm Dr. Mark Porter and thank you for downloading this edition of Inside Health. I hope you enjoy it. In today's programme, red meat hits the news, but does the latest scare stand up to scrutiny? Concussion. If you or a member of your family have ever been knocked out, then you could be at risk of an easily missed complication of a knock on the head that can influence everything from your blood pressure to your sex life, and it's common.
It's very difficult to estimate how many people live with post-traumatic hypopituitarism. Some studies suggest 1 million people, some studies suggest probably 500,000, but still we're talking about very, very large numbers of people that are not recognised or treated.
And measles. The outbreak in Swansea has been a stark reminder that the virus still poses a significant threat. I'll be getting an update on the latest developments in South Wales and asking if we're likely to see similar outbreaks across the UK and whether it's just children and young adults that are at risk. But first, we go behind this week's headlines linking red meat to an early heart attack. Have researchers from America really found the missing link that explains why meat eaters are more likely to develop heart disease than their vegetarian peers? And should meat eaters be concerned? Catherine Collins is the principal dietitian at St George's Hospital NHS Trust in London. Catherine, before we look at the nature of the link, is it clear that meat eaters do actually suffer more heart disease?
Well, we've always assumed that red meat is a major cause of heart disease, but actually the EPIC study, which has looked at over 500,000 people in the UK and Europe, has shown that only those that are taking the largest amounts, over 160 grams a day or 6 ounce steak a day, are at much higher risk. For the rest of us, having red meat once or twice a week is actually quite useful because it gives us iron, which helps make prevent against anaemia, and that preventing against anaemia allows us to exercise more and do those lifestyle things which we're meant to do along with a healthy diet in preventing heart disease.
So why has there been so much excitement about this study?
Well, I think people are excited because when we're looking at the risk of heart disease, we only have a certain number of markers that we can use to actually try and predict our risk of heart disease. So we can look at cholesterol, we can look at blood pressure, we can look at your blood sugar level or your obesity level, and we can make a prediction as to, are you likely to develop heart disease in the future? Now, the big problem is, of course, that some people actually develop heart disease without those factors being altered. And so what these researchers were trying to work on, a hypothesis that there's a substance present in the blood, and that this particular stuff, when it gets into the bloodstream, actually helps to speed up the hardening of the arteries. And this would be a very new factor to add to the armoury we've already got of using blood cholesterol and blood pressure and so on in order to try and identify people at risk of heart disease.
Explain to me then the link between eating meat and the levels of this chemical in the blood.
The key issue is that the authors make the assumption that red meat causes heart disease, even if it's very lean, it's very low in saturated fat and total fat. Now, that in itself is open to debate, but if we work on the principle that perhaps there is a link between red meat and heart disease, they were looking at a substance called carnitine, which is found naturally in red meat. It's a substance that's there as part of the meat structure, and we know that we can absorb it into our bloodstream, and it's quite harmless in our bloodstream and does some useful things in terms of fat metabolism. But what these researchers were looking at was what happens to carnitine depending on whether you're a regular meat eater or you're a vegetarian. And what they showed in a quite elegant set of experiments is that if you were a vegetarian that could be persuaded to take some meat and some carnitine supplements, that your blood carnitine level rose because you'd just eaten some carnitine, but actually that's all that happened. If you were a meat eater and you had the meat and the carnitine supplements, you did absorb some of the carnitine, but also you absorbed a substance which had been altered by your digestive bacteria into a more toxic substance. This is called TMA oxide. Unfortunately, we can't get away from the dodgy names, but TMA oxide was thought to be a substance which independently irritates the blood vessel walls and accelerates the speed at which they're likely to flare up.
So the implications for those of us who are meat eaters are what? I mean, what sort of levels of meat intake were they talking about?
Well, I think this is a really important aspect because if there was a new biomarker, a new way of easily assessing heart disease risk that went beyond the traditional markers we have at the moment, it would be a very exciting development. But when you look at the study that they did, they actually gave people a sort of 8 ounce rump steak and a carnitine supplement as well. So it meant that people were taking in over 400 milligrams of carnitine a day in this single dose. So what they were doing in both the vegetarian subjects and the meat eaters was giving them a massive plate of steak equivalent, if you like. And of course, not many people would sit down and eat a steak that weighs over a pound in weight. And if they did, it probably wouldn't be that often in their diet.
So we don't quite know at the moment how relevant this might be to your average meat eater. But does it make any difference how you eat that meat? I mean, if I'm eating that meat with salad, for instance, does it make any difference to how it's metabolised?
Well, this again is a really key point because, of course, when you're testing foods, you're testing individual foods. But we don't eat food. We eat diets. We eat a mixed diet. So, of course, you know, for people eating steak, normally it might be steak and chips and peas and tomato, or it could be stir-fried beef with bean sprouts and noodles or whatever. And in fact, we know that the way in which foods interact together in a meal have a major impact on how that meal is digested. So even if your gut bacteria want to play kiss chase, if you like, with your meat carnitine and try and convert it into this rather unpleasant substance, the chances of it happening in a mixed diet is probably much, much reduced.
There might not be many people who are eating more than a pound of steak a day, but there are lots of people taking carnitine supplements, Catherine, as I'm sure you're aware. We've had an email here from Emma. She says that she's healthy, exercises six times a week and takes carnitine supplements because she's been told by her gym that they will help her metabolise fat. Of course, there are lots of people out there who take carnitine supplements in muscle preparations to help them build muscles as well. Should these people be worried, do you think?
Well, I certainly wouldn't recommend carnitine supplements, especially in conjunction with a high-protein diet that's based on meat. But from this evidence, if there is a link, and certainly at high levels of carnitine intake, they could show that this particular substance increased in the bloodstream. And they've shown from mouse models that high TMA levels are associated with an accelerated damage in the artery wall from having this high level of carnitine. So there really is no reason why you should take supplements. This, unfortunately, for dietitians, is exactly what happens in gyms and other nutritionistas, people with an interest in nutrition that understand a little bit of the science but don't quite know how it all fits together.
And what message should the rest of us take away from this research, people who have a moderate amount of red meat a week?
I would take away that actually we carry on doing what we've always done. There's a number of flaws with the extended comments made by the researchers. The big problem comes in trying to translate that into what should the public do, and that's where we really do disagree, because this particular substance in the bloodstream, which they have associated with an increased risk perhaps of heart disease, this TMA oxide, occurs naturally when we eat oily fish or any other sea fish. And it's also present in other foods like bread and asparagus and ice cream and chicken breasts and so on. And in fact, we know that if you're eating a diet that's rich in seafood or rich in vegetables, that's actually protective against heart disease. So whereas I would suggest that actually large meat eaters and people taking these supplements should really think again about their diet, for the rest of us that have red meat a couple of times a week, add in fish, have plenty of vegetables, a little bit of chicken and a little bit of what you fancy, we don't need to change what we're doing. Just carry on as you are at the moment.
Catherine Collins, thank you very much. And you'll find a link to the carnitine study published in Nature Medicine on the Inside Health website at bbc.co.uk.